Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have York Dispatch Report. That's over in Pennsylvania, Rob Rose at 9:15, followed by Mid-American Conference Commissioner John Steinbrecher at 9:30. And then at 9:45, we're going to have Nate Swick on from Visit Indy, and we're going to talk about how the NCAA tournament went from the other side of things coming up at 9:45. As always, we have an open line, so about, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-446 are the numbers. Give us a call, and we'll knock around virtually anything you can think of. And until 9:15, when Rob Rose comes on to talk about the new changes in Major League Baseball, won't be Major League Baseball, there are going to be some new ones coming up, but they're going to be done in the Atlantic League. We're going to talk with him here in about 10-15 minutes from now. A couple of things we need to go over this morning. Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian star Caleb First has been named Indy Stars Mr. Basketball Award for this year. He received 73 votes from a statewide panel of coaches and media members, outplacing runner-up Trey Kaufman Wren of Silver Creek. Kaufman Wren, Indiana's 2019-20 Keeter A Player of the Year, received 47 votes. Both of these gentlemen are headed to Purdue. The 6'10 First averaged 21.4 points and 14.1 rebounds, along with 2.2 blocks last year, leading the Braves to a 20-3 mark in their second straight state title. The 2020 basketball season was canceled after the COVID-19 pandemic. He also dished out 3 assists last year per game and was named the Class 2A Trustor Mental Attitude Award winner. Blackhawk Christian was a runaway tourney champ as well, as they won every game by at least 13 points. Kaufman Wren has also led his team to 2 state titles, though in 3A. Blackhawk guard Luke Brown, who's going to go to Stetson, finished his career with over 3,000 points to lead the number 4 on the state's career scoring list, was 3rd with 40 points. So that's been now decided, as Caleb First has been named the Mr. Basketball for the state of Indiana for the year. So he's outdid Troy Kaufman Wren, who's also going to Purdue. Some sad notes this week. We had Leroy Keyes, a 2-time All-American running back at Purdue and a College Football Member Hall of Fame, died on Thursday at the age of 74. Keyes was the only 2-time consensus All-American in Purdue history, finished 3rd and 2nd in the Heisman Trophy voting in 1968 and 69, respectively. He set team records for career touchdowns, so that is at 37. Points, 222, and all-purpose yards, 3,757. In 1987, he was voted Purdue's all-time greatest player as the program celebrated its 100th year anniversary. Keyes was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1990, was selected number 3 by Philadelphia in the 1969 NFL Draft, and played both running back and safety for the team. 1968, Keyes earned Big Ten MVP honors, after leading the nation with 114 points and setting a team record with 19 total touchdowns, which still stands. Keyes also holds a team record for season rushing average at 6.6 yards a carry in 1967 and for a career at 5.88. So Leroy Keyes dying earlier this week at the age of 74. IUPUI has named its next head basketball coach for men's basketball, and he's going to be a very familiar name. That's former player and assistant coach Matt Crenshaw has been hired as the program's 10th head coach and brings 15 years of collegiate coaching to the experience to the bench. Past 3 seasons, he has been a member of Ball State's coaching staff, serving as co-defensive coordinator. He spent the previous 12 seasons as an assistant in his alma mater, including 7 seasons as the associate head coach. He is one of 3 players in school history who has had their number retired. He officially begins his job Monday. So Matt Crenshaw becomes the new head basketball coach at IUPUI starting on Monday. As we're going to talk here a little bit later with John Steinbrecher, the transfer portal on those leaving early or whatever. Well, Duke sophomore Matthew Hurt will declare for the 2021 NBA draft and forgo his remaining college eligibility by hiring an agent, he told ESPN on Wednesday. hurt the number 48 prospect in the ESPN 100, was named first team all ACC and the winner of the ACC's Most Improved Award after averaging 18.3 points and 6.1 rebounds per game while shooting 44.4% from three-point range. The 6'9", 20-year-old Hurt is considered one of the most skilled offensive players in the NBA draft, and with the second-best three-point percentage, he's currently projected to be drafted after Baylor's Davion Mitchell. Hurt will be the second player in the past 30 years of college basketball to be drafted after shooting 63% inside the arc and 44% outside it, along with Creighton's Doug McDermott. I am going to say this now, and I have a feeling that will not be a good move for him. I think he needs at least one more year in college, because if you remember how he shoots the basketball, he kind of gets it into a set position above his head, and that'll give defenders, especially at the NBA level, time to react, time to get to it, and probably block it. So I just don't see, unless he changes, he's got some changes in his shot, which, you know, when you have those kind of figures, he may not want to, but I have a feeling that's going to happen. And he may not be as good as everybody thinks he will be for the NBA draft, but we shall see. One of the teams is going to change drastically for this next year is going to be Creighton. Their fifth starter, now elected to leave. He went to the transfer portal. That's Mitch Balick, one of the top three-point shooters in Creighton history. He's not going to return to the team. He's on track to graduate in May and ranks number three on the school's three-point chart with 338, behind Kyle Korver and Ethan Raggi. He's a native of Eudora, Kansas, shot 38.9% on threes, and averaged 9.9 points per game in the tournament last year, who reached the NCAA tournament Sweet 16. He's a fifth starter who will not take advantage of another season eligibility granted by the NCAA because of the pandemic. Marcus Zagorowski, Damian Jefferson, and Denzel Mahoney have also declared for the 2021 draft, NBA draft, and Christian Bishop, who is another starter, plans to transfer. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out for Creighton and what kind of program they may or may not have for next year. We have been waiting a long time for the NCAA to decide on what they want to do with all these programs that they found doing illegal stuff in basketball in 2017. Well, we got some clarification the other day. The NCAA on Thursday placed the USC men's basketball program on 2 years probation as a result of former assistant coach Tony Bland accepting bribes to steer players to certain business managers and financial advisors once they turned pro. USC was fined $5,000, plus 1% of the men's basketball program budget, and the NCAA accepted recruiting restrictions previously self-imposed by the university. Bland was one of four former assistant coaches charged in federal crime cases and bribery in college basketball. Reached a plea agreement with the federal prosecutors in December of 2018. In June of 2019, U.S. District Court Judge Edgardo Ramos sentenced Bland to 100 hours of community service and 2 years of probation. He was given a 3-year show cause, order from the NCAA during which any school may employ him, quote, must restrict him from any athletically related duties unless it shows the restrictions to what should not apply. And what interesting, you know, some of these other programs that were involved in this. In June, the NCAA placed Oklahoma State on 3 years probation and banned the Cowboys from playing in the postseason tournament for one season. The Cowboys have appealed those penalties, which were a result of a level one recruiting violation involving one of their assistant coaches. While they coached at the school, reached the second round of the 2021 NCAA tournament. Alabama was placed on 3 years probation in November after an associate director accepted bribes to facilitate a meeting between a player's father and a financial advisor. The NCAA issued a 10-year show cause for the former associate athletic director, who was Kobe Baker, who resigned in September 2017. Arizona, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, and TCU have all acknowledged receiving notice of allegations from the NCAA related to the federal investigation. Auburn and Creighton have also received a notice of allegations, according to sources, and the NCAA is investigating LSU's program. And for those who weren't real sure, what Arizona's doing, they elected to hire longtime Gonzaga assistant coach Tommy Lloyd as their new coach late this week. So now Arizona is set for this. We'll just see what happens. But, you know, I don't know why he'd want to take a job like that. I know he was going to be Mark Few's coach in waiting, so to say. But at the same time, I don't know why you'd really want to get involved in a program like Arizona if you really don't know what the penalties are going to be. And that's where Tommy Lloyd finds himself getting himself into as we move on into next season. We're going to take a break right now and try and get Rob Rose on the phone from the New York, Pennsylvania Dispatch. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
of State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I like things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're getting set to get our next guest on here, which will be Rob Rose from the New York, Pennsylvania Dispatch. So until that time, let's talk a little pro sports if we can. Major League Baseball last night, National League. Atlanta defeated the Cubs 5-2. It was the Nationals shutting out Arizona 1-0. Phillies defeated the Cardinals by a score of 9-2. It was Pittsburgh over Milwaukee 6-1. The Dodgers defeated San Diego in 12 innings last night, 11-6. Mets in Colorado were postponed because of whatever out in Colorado last night. Interleague play was the Reds over Cleveland by a score of 10-3. We'll get back to that a little bit later on, but now we're being joined by our guest, who is Rob Rose from the New York Dispatch. Rob, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
How's everything over in Pennsylvania this morning?
It's pretty good. A little cold, but things are going well.
Yeah. Is it playable baseball weather if we ever had to play right now, or was it a little too cool for that over there?
I think they'd be okay. Maybe a little bit of time to warm up, but not too bad.
All right. Reason we wanted to talk to you is that you were one of the big people in trying to get the get a little bit of background and stuff on the experimental rules for 2021 over in the Atlantic League. That maybe Major League Baseball is going to adapt here in a year or so. First of all, talk a little bit about the ones with the main two, which is the change of the designated hitter and also the change for the pitching mound.
Yeah, so those two new rules that are going to be in effect at different points in the season this year in the Atlantic League, the double hook, I believe is what they're calling it, the designated hitter rule, basically. Once you take your starting pitcher out of the game, you lose your designated hitter for the rest of the game. That's basically the easiest way to describe it. And I think what they're looking for there is to bring more value back to the starting pitcher, sort of like what you saw in, with Blake Snell and the Rays, pulling a starting pitcher out like that. Obviously, he wasn't happy. The baseball community reacted, poorly to that. And that's kind of, they're trying to bring back some value to the starting pitcher and wanting him to work deeper into games. And you saw, you see a lot of that. The not wanting to get a pitcher three times through the order. I mean, the numbers say that they're less effective. So I think it makes sense on the team side, but they're trying stuff out in the Atlantic League here. And the changing of the mound, that's actually something that was supposed to happen in 2019 when the Atlantic League and MLB created this agreement where the Major League Baseball started to test out these different rules. And the Atlantic League was supposed to go to 62 feet, 6 inches, but there was a major reaction to that from the pitchers, and they never ended up doing it. And instead of going 2 feet back, they're going one foot back this year. And that same thing, trying to help the batters have a chance to hit against these pitchers. The strikeout rate has been up, for 15 straight years. The average fastball is the highest it's been last year, just over 93 miles per hour. So, this is supposed to make the fastball look a little, maybe 2 miles per hour slower and give the hitters, a fraction of a second more of a chance to hit the ball. And hopefully that starts putting more balls in play and takes away, there's so many strikeouts that are happening in Major League Baseball these days.
One of my concerns about the pitching mound, more than anything else, is the fact it's going to be implemented for the second half of the season and not the start of the season. And to me, that would, that to me would be a possibility of affecting pitchers' arms. Was that ever discussed or something to that effect?
Yeah, I mean, so I think why they're doing it in the second half and not the first is because but you're announcing these rules, this week, about 6 weeks before or so before the Atlantic League season gets going. So I think that might be a little too short of a time. But in reading some stuff about it, specifically Jason Stark from The Athletic had a really in-depth piece on, these rules and what they might mean for Major League Baseball. But, referenced that in 2019, Dr. James Andrews did a study to look at the injury risk basically from where it is now, 60 feet to 62, 6 all the way up to 63 inches, and found that there's really no difference in the injury risk for these guys, depending on the distance and how they're throwing. And honestly, Major League Baseball found that when they looked at their catchers and pitchers, some catchers line up in different spots. Sometimes they're lined up all the way up to like 65, feet from the mound. And the pitchers really don't necessarily know the difference. Sometimes they're closer, sometimes. So there are a lot of pitchers right now, pitching tonight that are potentially throwing, further than that, extended, 1 foot mound, and they have no idea because it's not a rule and it's not something that's specifically changed. So, from Major League Baseball side, they've done, research that says this isn't going to injure pitchers. I know that when it first happened, when they announced these rules, they debuted like the automatic ball strike system in New York at the All-Star game. And I was there. I talked to, Matt Latos, who had spent a lot of time in Major League Baseball. He was not a fan. A lot of the pitchers were not fans of changing all the different things. Obviously these guys are, trying to, drum up new chances in their careers by pitching well in the Atlantic League, and they don't want to deal with all these things. But MLB's, using the Atlantic League as a testing ground, and they've got some research that says it's not going to hurt them. So I think they tried to eliminate that, excuse as why pitchers would maybe not be able to deal with this and kind of show them, you actually may have been throwing a little bit further than that already, and it hasn't hurt you, so not that big of a deal if we change the rule one foot, and maybe it helps the batters out.
And to me, the double hook, when you take out your starting pitcher, to me, if you want the pitcher to go longer, that's maybe another reason why, another possibility for some arm trouble.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think that the teams, they monitor, you know, there's a lot of stuff from the GM side deciding how many pitches guys throw and at what point do they become more at risk for injury and all that stuff, and that has to be factored into it. I think they're always concerned about pitchers' arms, and versus, you know, if you're the Yankees and you have Gerrit Cole on this mega deal and he's, you know, you're a huge cornerstone of your team, is it worth having a designated hitter for two or three innings more in a game and potentially risking, you know, Gerrit Cole going further than you feel comfortable on his arm? And that's a decision that teams are going to have to make, is, you know, is one game worth more so the longevity of what you're trying to do with your team into the postseason and, you know, the career of a pitcher that you've financially invested a ton of money in. So I think the goal of it is to try and get, you know, more value to the starting pitcher, but it's a decision that each team has to make individually based off of weighing, I guess, that game versus the long-term effects of what an injury would do to the team.
You were saying that at the All-Star game, the automatic ball strike system was not very popular. Is it? Do you think that's going to continue to be that way, or have you heard thoughts where it may change a little bit?
I think that's the one of these rules that I think most players are fine with, if it's any. I know there's, in, you know, every sport there's complaints about, you know, the officials and errors made by officials. Some people like that human aspect of it, that they're people and they get, you know, caught up in the game and it's on them to, you know, that they have something to do with the game and they may make a mistake. And I would not like that to be eliminated, right? You ideally would want the athletes on the field and the coaches to decide the sports that they're playing and not have any kind of error in there. So I think the automatic ball strike, as that gets more and more data and they refine it, you know, at the time when they debuted it was delayed and they were still learning things out. So I think not having last year in terms of being able to put it in fully maybe a little bit of a hindrance in how fast it makes it to Major League Baseball. But I think if you tell the players that they can take away this, you know, the aspect of the game where they think it's ball four and the umpire says that they struck out and they get an argument about it, if you take that away and guarantee here's the strike zone every time you take a pitch, it's going to be called correctly, I think they're more in favor of it. It just needs to be one as close to accurate as possible. And I don't know if they're 100% there yet because of not having last season and having more time to look at more data and refine the way that they're approaching it.
There's also been a lot of talk about eliminating the defensive shifts and, you know, possibly having four players in the outfield and those kind of things. But those particular rules were not adopted. Any reasons why?
No, I don't know that, honestly. I can't say, but so when they focused this season, they just announced, you know, these two new rules, the two that we referenced at the top, as part of this agreement that they came to, in 2019. When they originally announced it, they announced maybe six or seven things. There were all different things, you know. Batters could just take off from the plate whenever they want on any loose ball and just like steal first base is what it was called. They announced like six or seven things, and I think maybe it might have been too much, and they tried to do too many things at one time. So maybe with this they want to test these two things out and see how they work, and then maybe add some more stuff in. Really, the nature of this agreement lets Major League Baseball kind of test things, you know, whenever they want, And the Atlantic League has been, willing to be the area where they can kind of work on these things. So I imagine they want to do that. Maybe it's something they visit next season or, halfway through the season. It does seem like they've got an agreement where the Atlantic League is willing to test different things out. So if Major League Baseball wants to do that, they'll bring it up. But at this time, they haven't done that.
I was a little surprised that I don't know how you were, but just going to experiment in one league and the Atlantic League winds up being or the one agreeable, or how did that all work out?
I know that, when I was at the All-Star game and talked to Morgan Sword, who's, in heading up a lot of these things for Major League Baseball. They really get into, how they came to an agreement, but the Atlantic League is kind of seen as the closest non-affiliated league, to Major League Baseball. A lot of guys that have gone, that gone down there to work on some stuff, just get some reps, figure out their game, and come back. They have a solid base of former, either guys that spent a lot of time in the minors or a little bit of time in the major league. And I think that maybe Major League Baseball saw them as the closest, representation to their, minor league system, sort of like a AAA. And, they could get some solid data from looking at them. And the Atlantic League for them, there's a financial component to, helping the teams that comes with working with Major League Baseball. And, it's good for them. You're, calling me to talk about it. People are writing articles about it. People are going to pay attention, maybe at least at the beginning of the season, to some of their games to see what this stuff looks like. So it's good for them, financially, and, get some good attention to the league. And it allows Major League Baseball to test some things out, see what they like, see what they don't like.
Potentially
bring it to Major League Baseball.
Has there been any final decision made? It's just, okay, we'll see after this year, the rules are, the kind of thing. Are they going to test them in another league or another league, or are they just going to just go ahead and try and implement them?
Well, I know. That's all up to Major League Baseball discretion, whether or not they want to bring these rules in, and they eventually have to go through the process of, talking to the Players Association and all that stuff, unless automatically just wants to, unilaterally, kind of change rules, which they haven't necessarily wanted to do. But, in 2019, they instituted the anyone in the Atlantic League, and, now that's in Major League Baseball. So it's really up to Major League Baseball what rules they like, what they see, and what they decide they want to, bring in into their game. The whole point is, look at the league, see what happens with it. So I would not expect any of these things until, next season. You're going to want a year of, well, how does this stuff work? And there's a lot of conversations about the designated hitter in Major League Baseball, whether or not it's going to be universal like it was a season ago. So if they would have to make that decision and then decide on the double hook decision. And I'm sure them changing the mound is not going to be something that goes over easily. So, these things I wouldn't expect them necessarily soon, but you could see them go to the minor league maybe next season and then into the major league potentially in the future.
Do you what's your personal thoughts? Do you think one or all of these are going to go, or maybe none?
I'm sure like I mentioned, there's research that says that the pitchers right now are throwing further. I talking to Matt Latos at that time, and he just said, just leave the game the way it was. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it, and don't change it. And I think that's going to be the mentality of the players, especially the pitchers, because this is all. Besides, I guess the double hook is to try and bring some value back to the starting pitchers, but it does seem like a good idea. But, the changes with the mound, that's to help the fall look slower to the batters and give them more chance to react. So if I'm a pitcher, why would I want this. If I think it's going to potentially hurt me and it's going to make it easier for the batters to get more hits and score more runs, and why would I ever want this to be implemented into the game? So I imagine, like most things in baseball, there will be a major resistance to change, and that's just how it is. But I do think there's, if what they're looking at is to eliminate the strikeouts, just bring them down at least, and put more balls in play and make the game a little bit more exciting, not just strikeout, home run, walk. But
yeah,
they want to take that out of it. They want to, make that, bring back stealing and contact hitters and that kind of stuff. So the teams are building their teams one way, and the league is trying to incentivize them to do it another way. So I would imagine that the pitchers for certain would be very against changing the mound, and the double hook thing, it apparently has some people who like it, but some people who hate it. I mean, if you go down, your pitcher gets, knocked out in the second inning, now you lose your designated hitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different things that need to be worked out, and that's why they're going to test it out here. But I certainly don't expect Major League Baseball players to be off, accepting these things and trying to bring them into the league next year by any chance. But we'll see how they work, and maybe they'll appreciate what the changes do, but we'll have to wait and see, unfortunately,
okay,
to find out if they have any value.
Rob, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys working with us to get something on, because I really wanted to deal with this topic. So it's something that it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling here in the next couple of years to see what happens. So, Rob, we greatly appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and everybody over there in York. You take good care, and we'll talk to you later on, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care, Rob. Bye-bye. That was Rob Rose, who was a reporter with the York Dispatch. We're going to take a break now and bring on our next guest. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.